Rema 1000, burgerboller, brioche burgerboller, store hotdogbrød eller brioche hotdogbrød. Kun 10 kroner per pakke. Godt nytår fra Rema 1000.
Marok podcast tager dig med backstage.
One of the big things about this record was that it was recorded live in one room. More so than any other record I've ever done, because all the guitars and all the vocals were recorded live with the bass and the drums and everything, and we were all in one room. And that's the first time I've ever done that. I've been trying to do that my whole career.
Stemmen her tilhører en af de helt store guitarlegender på rockscenen. Det borgerlige navn er Saul Hudson, men vi kender ham bedst som Slash. Med merit for Guns N' Roses har Slash gennem årene kastet sig ud i flere forskellige soloprojekter, blandt andet Slash's Snake Pit, superstjernekollektivet Velvet Revolver og senest Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, eller bare i daglig tale og lidt nemmere SMKC. Bandets fjerde album udkommer til februar næste år og hedder bare Four, og i fredags udkom første single fra albumet The River Is Rising, og derfor fangede My Rock Podcast Slash til en snak om det kommende album, om at have skiftet pladeselskab til det nystiftede Gibson-label, om at indspille alle instrumenter på én gang, og analogt, og mange andre ting. Jeg hedder Sten Skovgaard og har fornøjelsen af at byde dig velkommen til denne omgang af My Rock Podcasten Slash, og inden jeg giver ordet til hovedpersonen selv, så synes jeg lige, du skal høre den nye single The River Is Rising.
Familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
We'll be right back.
Well, you know, it's been exactly, almost to the date, 3 years since Living the Dream was released. And at that point we talked, and you said, well, when we get with the next record, we can talk again. So so here we are.
Yeah, a little bit of an extended hiatus between records, but, you know, that was circumstances beyond our control.
Those 3 years in between this new coming album and the latest album, well, it's been the most ridiculous 3 years ever.
Yeah, tell me about it.
How have you been coping with the COVID-19?
Pretty much the same as most everybody else, you know, just sort of riding this crisis out and trying to, you know, be as intelligent about it as possible and as practical about it as possible. And at the same time, as productive as you can possibly be given the circumstances. But, you know, I worked the entire time. So, you know, there's some stuff that's just started to come out and there's some stuff that hasn't come out yet. I did a lot of session work and obviously the Conspirators record, which was finished last April, that's coming out beginning of next year. And you got new other material coming out from like Guns N' Roses and whatnot. So I kept myself busy to keep myself sane, you know? And so it's, you know, it's all good. And it looks like, I'm really missing international touring and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like it's starting to open up and I'm just looking forward to getting going.
And one of the things that's been happening as well is that you changed the record label because the previous album was released on your own label and this time it's on the completely new Gibson record label.
Right.
And you've been playing Gibson for, all your life, I guess. More or less,
my whole professional career.
Yeah. So, how does it feel for you to be on a Gibson label?
It's great. You know, I'm really excited about it. When we were doing this record, you know, I was making some changes to some of the, you know, like the way I'm usually my own label, and then we hire on different companies for distribution and so on. And we were changing a bunch of those companies around. And my manager had mentioned that Gibson starting a new label and would I be interested in doing the first record through Gibson? And I was like, you know, that's a really great fucking idea because I know everybody at Gibson. I know how hard they work. And I know on a creative level, how profound they are and how they get behind the stuff that they do. So I thought, you know, this would be perfect. And so we're doing it and I'm really looking forward to the whole thing.
So things are coming full circle.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I've been working with Gibson since the 1990. I mean, I've been working with them since actually 1989. So yeah, it's just an extension of our relationship at this point.
Have you been able to put things to the table for Gibson? I mean, they're not used to be a record label. They produce guitars.
Right.
So have you been able to put anything on the table that could make them comfortable?
At this point, no. I mean, we're just starting out and they're working with BMG and I think that they've got a pretty good handle on stuff so far. And, you know, I think going forward, the biggest thing that's going to be for Gibson is to see which other artists they want to sign, which I think is going to be really exciting. But as far as the handling of how to fit into the record business, I think that's something that they've got a pretty good handle on. They're working with a lot of good people that to sort of steer the ship, so to speak. So I think it'll be all right.
Today is October 7th, and this interview will go on air on October 22nd, because that's the release of the new single, The River is Rising.
Right.
And this is the weirdest thing ever, because usually when I do interviews, I know what I'm doing an interview about, but I haven't heard the single. So, can you tell me, in which direction is the Conspirators moving this time?
Well, let's see. This record is like when you hear the single, you know, it's a pretty hard hitting, heavy song. But the record itself is very diverse. It's got a lot of different vibes on it, and no two songs are alike. The one of the big things about this record was that it was recorded live in one room, more so than any other record I've ever done, because all the guitars and all the vocals were recorded live with the bass and the drums and everything, and we were all in one room. And that's the first time I've ever done that. I've been trying to do that my whole career. And we recorded this record with Dave Cobb, and so it's very raw and it's very spontaneous.
What was it different to you to work in that way? I mean, did it put more pressure on you as a musician?
I think it was actually the exact opposite. It was very liberating, because you don't have time to think. You know, normally we go in, we record everything live, and then we go and redo the guitars and we put real vocals on it, right? And so you have a chance to fix stuff, you have a chance to think about it, and you have a chance to like sort of go over a part more than once. When you do it live in the studio, you just go in and you just do it. And so there is a kind of pressure of having to make one take and try and make sure that you play everything as correctly as possible. But at the same time, we rehearse before we go in to do it, so we know how to play the song. We just have to play it. So it's very liberating, because you have the freedom of just expressing yourself in the moment, and you don't have the pressure of overthinking it.
Do you think you have been able to capture the nerve of playing live on the recordings?
Well, this one, yeah, because it is live.
Yeah, but I mean, you could go into the studio and record, but do you feel satisfied with the nerve that it captured?
Yeah. No, I think that Dave captured it perfectly. I mean, it was really a very sort of fun, combustible environment that he managed to get down on tape. And we did record it analog as well.
So really old school.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I really like the idea of going old school that way, because you always hear the stories of people going into the studio, having rented it for like 3 days, and they have like the 8-track recorder and they only have the certain amount of tape. So they can only do it on one take. So it is basically going back to the roots.
Yeah, well, I mean, the studio that we recorded the record in is a world famous studio in Nashville called RCA Studio A. And that is a big room, which is, I have to say, that one of the reasons we were able to record everything live was because of this particular room that we were in. In the late 50s and early 60s, that's how they recorded everything live in this room with one, you know, and they had to do it in one take or maybe possibly two takes, and that was it. So that being in that environment was particularly inspiring.
So besides being in Nashville, did the room itself actually contribute to the way the record ended up sounding?
I would say so. I mean, it's a really big room, really big. And even though it's really big, it's not overly live. It's not excessively live. So that's how we were able to just put baffles up and keep everything from bleeding too much. And I think we use a lot of room mics and stuff, so it sort of contributed to a very sort of big sound.
Myra Podcast. Disse var ordene fra Saul Hudson, aka Slash, som sammen med Miles Kennedy og The Conspirators netop har udgivet den første single, som forløber for det kommende fjerde album. Og jeg er sikker på, at du kommer til at høre meget mere til Slash i den kommende tid. Jeg vil lige benytte lejligheden til at sige tak til dig, der har lyttet med, og jeg håber, at du, hvis du har mod på det, dykker ned i vores podcastarkiv. Der er et enkelt eller to guldkorn der. Jeg hedder Sten Skovgaard, og indtil vi høres ved igen, ha' det godt. My Rock. My Rock. Podcast.